I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Beningo and Licata, we are live here from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center. We'll be here till 12:30 Yankee baseball, the Yankees and the Tigers, game two of their series in Detroit. And joining us right now, former Met manager Terry Collins, one of a select group that has taken my franchise to a World Series. Terry, you got to know this. I've seen it all. I became a Met fan in 1962 when I was 9 years old, one of the dumbest decisions I ever made. The only dumber one was becoming a Jet fan. That was dumber. But nevertheless, so I've seen it all. And Sal and I were talking about this. Like, only you and Bobby Valentine have taken to the Mets to the playoffs 2 years in a row. You're the only two guys to do it.
Amazing.
It really
Amazing
is.
Amazing Mets.
When you think about it.
History of the franchise, consecutive years in the postseason, two people. Bobby V, Terry Collins have led the Mets to that. That's unbelievable.
We would have gone 3 years in a row if we didn't get everybody hurt in 17. But
2017.
I will tell you that. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I will tell you this, John. Seriously. You know, I can't tell you how many times we'd be in the dugout and something would happen on the field. We'd say, geez, I've never seen that before. And and sure enough, you say, well, I've seen it all. Let me tell you, something else is going to pop up. You said, I've never seen that before.
Well, you know, I say this too, Terry. You know, in the early days, you had some, you hung in there pretty good. You were there how many years before you guys finally had that World Series run in 2015?
Well, I was there 4 years before we went to the World Series.
Right, right.
Hired in 2011. And remember, too, I know you know this, but I'm just reiterating, that after the Madoff stuff, and then we know what happened there.
Right, right.
It was a total just washout and wipeout where TC was brought in to basically build this thing up before you guys even started spending any kind of serious money. And I remember the first time, I think, was when you brought Bartolo in and Granderson in 2014,
right.
I want to say.
Yeah.
That's when it was
two terrific Mets, by the way.
Yeah.
Bartolo and Granderson, no doubt.
Yeah. I remember I just got the job my first year. It's probably maybe the first or second week when the season started. Joel Sherman walks into me and he says, you do know you're hired just to get this straightened out, and then they're going to fire you and get somebody else.
Is that what he said to you, Sherman?
Yeah, in my first year. I've been there two weeks.
Right.
How'd you handle that? What was the response?
I said, jobs are hard to get. There's only 30 of them. I'll take it. Right, I'll be here as long as I can.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why we loved you. You had that great attitude yesterday when I was asking him to come on. Obviously, TC's here for SNY. We got a panel coming up for SNY Baseball Night in New York. I was like, Joe B, right? And TC, I think you were familiar with Joe B. And he goes, which one of you two guys are going to rip me hardest?
I did get on you, Terry. Let me just put it this
way. Joe, I listen to the shows.
Right.
Everybody said when you came to New York, don't read the papers, don't listen to the shows. Let me tell you something. It didn't offend me. You're allowed to have an opinion.
Right.
You know, there's people I've met in my life that I don't like so much as either. But, you got to move on. That's it.
Well, the image I will always remember of you, I think it was when you clinched the division in Cincinnati and you're running around with the champagne into the fans. That was tremendous.
Yeah. I got fined for that, too.
I know you did, but you know what? Terry, the fans loved it.
I know they did. When we were in L.A., and when we clinched in L.A.
Right, right.
I couldn't believe how many Mets fans there were at the game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm out shaking hands, and some guy grabs me and gives me this huge kiss in front of and I said, what in the heck is going on here?
Right. There's a lot of kids.
But they loved it.
And it was L.A. We could go to
and
a lot
I did
of
it in Chicago,
kids.
Too. And,
right.
You know,
right,
and I got fined for that one, too. And so
It was well worth it.
Is there one moment that stands out? We've talked about David Wright coming back. Remember, Joe, the home run when he first came back and he hit that bomb in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
That moment or the clinching the postseason berth against Cincinnati, as Joe said, sweeping the Cubs, going to the World Series. Is there one memory that you have that you hold higher in regard than any other?
Well, in your baseball lifer like myself, I mean, every one of them was big. But I will tell you, Game 5 in Los Angeles, watching Jake DeGrom pitch, I mean, he didn't have very good stuff that night. But he pitched like you're supposed
to
pitch.
He did.
He made pitches. He did it. And then when I brought Syndergaard in to face Justin Turner, I got a note from Justin Turner when the game was over. He sent me a little text. He said, was that necessary?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, because Syndergaard threw 102 and then struck him out with a 94 mile an hour slider. And Justin said, was that really necessary?
Terry, there's so many things we could get into. I want to get into the Cespedes, the Wilmer Flores situation and all of that. But I got a soft spot in my heart for Matt Harvey, okay? I had some issues with him. He got, you know, he got ahead of himself a little bit. You know, the celebrity stuff got to him a little bit. Obviously, we all know what happened. But this guy, man, he could, when he came on the scene, he was unbelievable. And that the World Series year, which was the last really good year he had, right? He was solid that year. He pitched Game 5. You kept him in. I agree with it 100%. I want in a World Series. I wanted to see it.
Me too.
Right. I feel so bad for what happened to Matt Harvey. What happened?
It broke my heart, Joe. The whole issue broke. Because I was, you know, and I know, you know, the injury issues. I really think the thoracic outlet syndrome surgery that he had what really slowed his arm speed down and hurt his, you know, hurt him as a pitcher. But this guy was, he was the best in the game. I mean, in 2013, when he started that All-Star game, I'm on the field talking to the guys. And, you know,
it's about 120 degrees that night.
Yeah, but I was talking to the guys on the field, and I was asking them, who's the toughest guy they ever faced? Every single one of them said, the guy who's pitching tonight, Matt Harvey. Carlos Beltran told me, he said, Terry, I've faced everybody. This guy's got the best stuff I've ever seen.
Did you know what you were getting with him? Because I didn't from, and obviously you're in the system, you're the manager so you worked your way up, but I there wasn't that much hype. I remember watching him pitch a game that was aired on SNY when he was with the Rumble Ponies or Big Wings, whatever it was, and I was like, eh, whatever. And then, first pitch he threw in Arizona, I was like, who the hell is this guy? Did you know what you were getting when Harvey came up?
That's exactly what I said, the first pitch he threw in Arizona. You know, due to the fact that I spent so many years in player development, you know, I read all the reports. And so when we brought Matt up, I said, okay, he's, you know, 94, 93, 94, got a pretty good breaking ball, decent changeup. And he, that game in Arizona, I looked at Danny Werth and I said, where did this guy come from? And so, and this is a true story, and if Matt was here, he could tell you, but he walked in my office about, I don't know, maybe two, he probably started three or four games. He walked in my office, he said, why do you think it took me so long to get here? I said, because the guy that's sitting in my office right now is not the guy I've been reading about for the last 3 months.
Right, right.
I said, you know, you're pitching in AAA in Buffalo, you've got a 3.5, 3.6 ERA, you know, all AAA pitchers have that kind of, I said, if you'd have pitched in Buffalo like you're pitching now, you'd have been here 2 months ago. Because he was, I'm telling you, this guy.
Yeah, he was tremendous.
Had the injuries not occurred, this guy would have been, he'd been a Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame.
And the thing that I'm sure both of us love about him, Joe, was that he had that
he did.
He wasn't afraid of anything. He was the alpha male. I'm not taking any bullcrap from anybody, whether it's the Mets organization, whether it's the Yankees, the Nats, Strasburg. I don't take a backseat to anybody, and that's why I'll always love Matt.
And also the fact that, you know, when his agent there, Boris, was basically telling him to shut it down during the 15 World Series run, he said no, you know?
After I took him out of a game against the Yankees, he said no. You know, because he, at that time, we had innings limits on those guys.
And
Matt came out and he said, Boris Scott came out and he said, he's only going to throw 180 innings. And so Matt's, you know, we had to start limiting pitching. Matt was on board. So one day we were playing the Yankees and he's five innings. He's in the fifth inning. I take him out. He's got a two-hit shutout going. The next day, he walked to my office. He said, no more. Give me the baseball.
Right.
And that's why I sent him out there in Game 5. That's exactly why I sent him out there. This guy, just like you said, his competitiveness, and when he was on the mound, I mean, this guy was the man. He walked out there with that.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't care who you were. Get in the batter's box. Let's go. It's 1-1.
Talking to Terry Collins, of course, the former Met manager. We're coming up on 10 o'clock. You're going to stay with us for a while, right, Terry?
Well, I mean, we can take a break.
We could go. I got so much to get involved
We'll take a quick break and then come back and reset and get to the second part of the interview. You okay with
that? Is that cool, Terry?
Hey, I know you got nothing to do till 12 o'clock.
I don't have anything.
Terry,
you're hanging
time.
Out.
I'm retired. I have nothing to do.
Terry, we got a lot to cover here, Terry.
You still got
to
talk some golf. Joe
Beef. You play golf? You play, right?
Oh,
of course.
I'm down to 6 days a week now.
Yeah. We play about three or four. I'm playing. Now. I do have three holes in one, Terry. Believe it or not.
You do not.
I swear to God.
How many you got?
None.
And I'm not good enough. And I'm not good enough to have them, but I do.
Well, what are you playing from the senior citizens tees?
From the senior tees.
Okay. Is that?
Of course.
You do that as well. I'm trying to give you an edge here,
TC. I do not.
Okay.
No, I do.
I'm going to start.
Yeah.
When I turned 75, I told all the guys I play golf with, I said, you know, I'm moving up a tee box. And they said, like hell you are.
I take every advantage.
All right. So we'll take a quick break, Joe. We'll come back. We'll have more with Terry Collins on the other side.
Yep. Beningo and Licata from the Fanatics Fest. It's really getting crazy here. Terry Collins is with us. That's right. There's so much, Terry. The Santana no-hitter. Okay. If the Mets had a no-hitter prior to Santana, okay, would you have kept him in the game?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. But, you know, if you know him, and Joe, I know you know the guy, this guy is such a pro.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, and I will tell you, during that game, you know, I'm sitting on the bench. In the seventh and eighth innings, I went to him both times. I said, how you doing? I went to the mound one time, and I said, you okay? And he said, I'm going to be fine. Just leave me alone. I'll be fine.
Right.
And so he deserved it. He deserved, you know, with his background, what he's done, what he accomplished, and the fact that he was such a pro. But you know what? If there would have been a no-hitter before that, I probably would have got him either, because I just knew that we're entering the danger zone with the pitch count.
And that was it. I mean, I think the next game I was at the game at Yankee Stadium, it was like batting practice. They destroyed him.
Yeah.
I mean, Swisher, all these guys hitting home runs off him. And really, he was never the same after that.
You know, Joe, I'll tell you, I did a on the anniversary of the no-hitter, I came to New York, and Johan got me off to the side. He said, hey, before we go in there, I want you to know something. He said, I have no problem with what we did. And he said, Terry, I got to tell you, my arm hurt the whole game.
Really?
Yeah. He said, I'm just going to tell you that right now. He said, I knew I was at the end. He said, so I really, I just want to thank you for leaving me in. He said, and I have no problem with the results of it all.
Ultimately, would that have been your call or just him? Like, if you were like, hey, you're at this amount of pitches, 120, whatever it is, maybe we should sit you down. He's still going to say, I'm throwing this.
Out.
Yeah.
He told me that. At the anniversary, he said, Terry, you do know I wasn't coming out of that game. So,
right. There was nothing you could really do about
that. I had seven guys warmed up in case he gave up a hit.
I got to tell you this, okay, because this bothers me, okay?
Yeah.
This bothers me. You know, Beltran did hit a double down on left field line.
Too bad.
Bye-bye.
And but you know he's close with Beltran.
What's that?
He's close with Beltran.
I'm very close with
I love Beltran.
I do, too.
He got so hosed in this Houston thing. What a joke.
Yeah,
they screwed him.
Terrible.
Everybody else is okay, but not him.
It's terrible.
I don't want to get into that. But it does kind of, as much as I, you know, loved finally getting a no-hitter and getting rid of that, man, that I just can't get that image out of my mind. And especially
the Beltran
it was Beltran. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it was a foul ball.
I can't hear. It was foul. That's all I can say. You know, I remember I had an argument one time with an umpire. There was a play at second. We were playing the Yankees.
Right.
There was a play at second base, and the umpire called. They picked Tejada off second base, and the umpire called him safe. And then he said, "No, he's out." So I went out to second base. I said, "What was that?" He said, "I missed it." I said, "Too bad. You know, live with it. That's what we have to do."
Right.
And he said, "We got to make sure we get the right call." I said, "How many times have you struck a guy out on a 3-2 slider that's 7 inches outside?" He said, "Well, it happens." I said, "Then change that once in a while." They kicked me out of the game.
Right.
I don't know why.
Well, what else did you say?
Well, something else.
Yeah. You didn't tell him what a lovely day it was.
It was a really lovely day. Have a nice time. And then, Joe, as I'm walking off the field, they were, you know, how they changed the bases. So I'm walking off the field, and they're changing first base. And so the old first base is laying there, and I kicked it. Well, you know, there's metal. They have the bottom of the bases.
Right.
I thought I broke my foot.
Oh,
but I couldn't limp because I was mad. I said, don't limp. You cannot limp. You got to walk off. I know both of my toes are broken, but you just got to walk off with your head up.
Right.
But, yes, you know, there's some things happening in a game sometimes. You get inside and say, why that? I remember when I was coaching for Jim Leland, we got in a fight in Los Angeles with Kevin Gross. And Kevin Gross was 6'5". He was a black belt in karate. Leland charges the guy. He's at first base. Kevin Gross reaches out and grabs him by the neck. And Jim's trying to hit him. He can't get to him. So when the game was over, I said, what are you going to say? I don't know. He said, the closer I got, I'm thinking to myself, what the hell are you doing going after this guy?
Right.
So, yeah, you do stupid things once in a while.
You do.
Yeah.
We're talking to Terry Collins, the former Met manager, Beningo and Licata, live from the Fanatics Fest here at the Javits Center. There's so much with you. The Wilmer Flores thing, which is just one of the classic moments in the history of the Mets. You know, we're all there. That night he was traded for, who's the guy from Houston? I forget his name.
Gomez,
right?
Carlos Gomez,
Tell me about that. What did you know what was going on? Did you know that this trade had been done?
Not a clue. I'm on the bench, and all of a sudden, Wilmer's going in the on-deck circle.
Right.
And I hear the people yelling at him. Oh, we're going to miss you, Wilmer. And I'm thinking, what the hell are they talking about? So now David Wright, who's off that night, he comes out to he's standing next to me. He said, you know, he's been traded. I said, what? He said, we traded Wilmer Flores. I said, no, we haven't. He said, Terry, it's all over TV. I just saw it. It's all over. We've traded Wilmer Flores. I said, David, we did not trade this guy. He said, Terry, I'm telling you, he's been traded. It's on TV. They're announcing it. That's why the people are yelling at
him.
I said, David, you see that phone right there behind me? I said, that goes to Sandy Alderson. And if this guy's been traded, that phone's going to ring. And I said, he has not been traded. And Deesh David said, well, I'm just going to tell you, he's been traded. So now, Wilmer comes off the field, and he's crying.
Right.
So I take him down the little runway at the dugout. I said, listen, you got to straighten up. You have not been traded. Well, why are they young? I said, Wilmer, you got to be. I need you. You know, you might have been the only shortstop I had back then.
Right.
And I said, you got to go out and play. So now he goes back out to shortstop, and he's still crying. So now the phone rings. It's Sandy. He said, you got to get him off the field. I said, is he traded? He goes, no, but he's crying.
Is that what it was?
I said, well, what do you want me to do about it? So now I got to take him out of the game because he was crying. I said, jeepers, creepers.
Thank God that trade fell through.
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
And the Cespedes thing, I love Cespedes, by the way. I got to tell you, I got a Cespedes thing at home. I love him because he only was there a couple of years, but, man, was he unbelievable in that 2015 year.
Incredible.
It was crazy. It went right down to the wire. What was the thought? Were you freaking out that this might not happen with Cespedes at the end by the trade deadline?
You know what? I've told Sal the story 100 times, and Sandy and I talked about it, but I was in my office on the trading day of the trading deadline.
Right, right.
And my phone rings in my office. It's Jim Leland. And he's, hey, big boy, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He goes, well, hey, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to trade Cespedes today. Get him. And I said, well, Jim, I
right.
So, and it just so happens, Sandy's sitting right where you are in my office.
Right.
So I hang the phone up, and I said, that was Jim Leland. He said, they're going to trade Cespedes today. He said, get the guy. And Sandy just nodded his head and said, Sure enough, when the game's over, he walked in. He said, guess what? I got Cespedes.
Wow.
I said, you got to be kidding me. And I'm telling you, that, I do this podcast now, and I had Sandy on. I said, I was shocked that they made that kind of a trade, because we weren't really, we'd made some moves, but this guy, it was the turning point, and Jim was right. This guy was a game changer.
What's the name of the podcast? Terry Collins Podcast?
Terry Collins Show.
Terry Collins Show.
It's
great.
It's a catchy title.
What's the ump's name again? I forget.
Tom Hallion.
Tom Hallion. He had him on.
Right.
You got to check it
out.
Not
a big fan of umpires, by the way.
No, well, this was the one, the famous viral one where TC was caught on the hot mic after Syndergaard got ejected. Real quick on Cespedes to finish up. We've heard some things, behind the scenes, how Cespedes could be difficult.
Different kind of guy.
Yeah, was it difficult when he first got there to manage?
No, not when he was first there. He showed up every day, wanted to play. Matter of fact, we had a game. We were playing pretty good, and we lost a game, kind of like the other night when the Mets lost. We had a game like that, and so I walked in the clubhouse when the game was over, and I said, "Hey, what's with the long faces?" And they all looked at me, and I said, "Turn the music on. It's one game."
Right.
So Cespedes came in my office. He said, "You don't mind if we play the music?" I said, "No." The next day, he bought 2 speakers as big as that billboard and put them in the corners of the clubhouse, and the music was so loud I couldn't go in there.
Right. That was crazy.
Oh my God. But that's how he was. When he first got there, he loved to play. I told him, I had dinner with him about a year ago. I still see him.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All the time. I had dinner with him and I said, why didn't you want to be the absolute best player in the game?
He could have been.
Joe, you can't tell me there was one tool that he didn't have.
No, he was unbelievable.
I mean, he could fly. He was a tremendous player. He had a cannon for an arm, power. He could hit. He could field. I mean, this guy had every tool there was.
The one thing that I can't forget with Cespedes is the freaking World Series when he butchered that play.
He did.
In center. He was playing
center. He wasn't good in the World Series.
Well, the first, but game one, right? Game one to start the World Series.
First pitch.
Yeah,
he butchered that play in center field. Yeah. That bothered me.
But he was – I mean, you're talking about dynamic. Yeah. The three-home run game in Colorado, I mean, this guy was –
Remember they were ripping him because he played 18 holes of golf that day?
He played 18 all the time,
Absolutely. He got up in the morning at 7 o'clock and went and played golf. He showed up at the ballpark and hits three homers.
They always –
And I'm supposed to be mad because he played golf?
Sal, you were killing him about that, too.
Probably,
Well,
I mean, probably, looking back,
The only thing I'm killing him about, you didn't ask me to go play with him. You know?
I think it was more correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. As memory serves, I don't remember ever killing Cespedes in 2015. Why would we? Because he was so good. Maybe it was the year after that he started to get banged up
a little bit. 2016, he was still good.
But he was
still
hurt.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He came back against the Giants, and then once he came back, you guys took off and ended up going to the postseason, even though you were shorthanded then, too.
Right.
But I feel like, we got on him, but it couldn't have been about performance because, I don't care how many – holes you play.
Right.
If you show up and post the way that he did and perform, I wouldn't get on it.
Yeah, now Cespedes was what a move that was. It's funny because they play that 5 days in Flushing.
Yes.
They play all the time on SNY. And we're part of it. Evan and I are part of that because we're doing – I'll never forget it. It was a Friday show. We're doing the show. It's day to trade deadline. We're doing the show from Giant Camp, right? We're at Giant Camp, right, out by MetLife, okay? And we're just, Ernie's our producer, Acosta, and we're just doing the countdown. Has it happened? Did they do anything yet? right down to the deadline. We didn't think anything was going to happen. We didn't think it was going to happen. And, boy, when they made the deal, I was delirious.
That's the D1 guy to get. And that's the last time they went all in.
Right.
I missed that.
Right.
Javi Baez wasn't all in. 2022, Vogelback.
Baez.
And then 2022, when they actually had a team that was in first
place.
Vogelback and Ruff. God. And then even this year, obviously, less than. But that was exciting back in 2015.
Yeah, fun.
Joe, I will tell you, Sal and I have talked about it. I was the farm director for the Dodgers for 7 years.
Right.
And
that's after you managed the Angels.
After I managed the Angels. So, and I will tell you something. My job, as the farm director, is to make major league players.
Get these
guys to be big league players. Whether they're Dodgers or not,
doesn't
who cares?
Matter.
Exactly.
Wherever they
because
go.
My job was to make sure whatever I did helped the big club. So if I had a prospect and you wanted to trade this guy to go get a piece to get in the playoffs, go do it. Because I remember in Houston, when I managed in Houston, we were in first place and Jeff Bagwell broke his hand. Mm. So we got one of the biggest parts of my team, if not the biggest part of my team. So we had a chance to make a trade, and they wouldn't do it because they didn't want to trade Billy Wagner, who was a double-A starting pitcher at the time.
Right.
And I had a chance to get a premier player for this guy. And I always look back, and I told Drayton McClendon, I said, Drayton, it's hard to win here in the big leagues. You don't know when the next time's going to happen where you got a chance to win. So minor league players, part of the minor league players is to trade these guys to go get a piece so you can win. Because you don't know if you'll ever get another chance.
Right.
I go back in 2017. My God, in spring training, I got five of the best starting pitchers in baseball. 3 months later, I got one.
Yeah.
Left.
Yeah.
So you never know.
You never know.
Of those, last one from me, Joe, and I know you have plenty more. Of the big three that you had at their peaks, DeGrom, Harvey, Syndergaard. You had one game to pitch, one game to win. Who are you going with?
Matt Harvey.
Really? You would have went him over DeGrom back then.
He was, yeah.
Well, I'm talking about at their peak.
No, I know.
One game to win.
Right.
Now, got to remember, Jake didn't throw 100 when I had him.
Right.
He was a pitcher. This guy used side to the plate, sunk it, good slider, actually had a pretty good curveball back then, and pitched. I think about Jake DeGrom, and the second start he made was, he didn't have very good stuff, and he just kept trying to throw his breaking ball. It wasn't very good, and all of a sudden in the fifth inning, it was there. But because he kept trying to find the feel for it. And that's why he was a pitch. But those nights, I go back, what set Matt Harvey apart was the Strasburg game.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at him eye to eye.
Harvey's better.
Two of the best two young pitchers in the game going head to head, and Matt Harvey was this much better than he was. Yeah.
Right.
No doubt.
Plus, he went deeper into games. I don't know about statistically, but it felt like DeGrom was brilliant, obviously, for six innings. But Harvey, when he was on, he's going. Like, you're not taking the ball from him.
Yeah.
the toughness, all that. So you know more than anybody,
yeah,
TC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, I'll tell you, one night he was struggling. You know, a year later he was struggling, and you know, and everybody, and they're get down on themselves a little bit. And I walked in, and I brought him in my office, and I have a computer in my office where I punched up one of the games that he pitched the year before. I said, "That's the guy I want. I want you to walk out there with your head high, just like this, you know." And that's how he pitched. He didn't care, you know. He gave up a hit. We weren't giving up another one.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I go back. There was a story years ago about, I talked to Don Drysdale about something one day, and he said, you know, when I pitched and someone made an error behind me, I got out of that inning. I'm going to bail that guy out. And that's the way Matt Harvey went about things. Something happened in an inning, Matt Harvey's getting out of it, and I'm going game one of the World Series, right? First pitch of the game is an inside the park home run.
Cespedes blew it, yeah.
Did he ever get another one? No, that was it.
Right.
When I took him out, it was 2-1. I mean, that's, you know, that.
And Familia blows that, of course, with a quick pitch. Whose idea was that quick pitch?
Well, why are you looking at me?
You're telling Familia to quick pitch?
No.
Not in a million years.
All right, I'm glad.
Not in a million years.
All right, we'll let you. I'm going to let you slide.
Good.
Talking to Terry Collins, one of the crazy moments of all time as a Met fan, Bartolo Colon's home run in San Diego.
Oh, God.
How good was Colon for the Mets? I mean, he was terrific.
Tremendous.
Oh, unbelievable how good he was.
I'm going to tell you, Joe, you don't know what he did behind the scenes with this guy. This guy, he made Familia. He made Hansel Robles.
Right.
This because of Bartolo
Colon.
Let's not
get too crazy about Hansel Robles.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. When we first came up, Hansel Robles is one of these guys that you didn't know if he was going to throw five balls in a row, but because of Bartolo, this guy. Ideal citizen, and that's the impact he made. But you know, he was such a good athlete, even though the size of him. You know that play he made in Miami when he threw the ball behind the back? You know he practiced that?
Are you kidding me?
No, really? I'm telling you, this guy, he was so good. And then, but that, he hated hitting. He hated hitting.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times he'd walk by me going up to the batter's box. He'd say, "Hey, Terry, I'm not swinging."
Well, he did. I mean, he would rarely swing.
I know, he hated it.
But what happened with this home run? I mean, come on. I mean, that was unbelievable.
You know, Pat Ressler was the assistant hitting coach at the time, and I put Pat in charge of pitcher's batting practice. And he told me one day, he said, "Let me tell you something. This guy's going to ambush somebody one day." And he said, "Because Terry, this guy's got mega power."
Right.
And he said, "He's going to ambush someone." And sure enough, he does. If James Shields,
right.
And when he hit that ball, I went, "Oh, please, God, don't tell me."
You know?
Right. And then, of course, the ball goes out, and then all the players run out of the dugout. And I'm going, "I can't run out of the dugout in this guy."
Right.
So I
went,
one guy left in the dugout. And the look on his face when he came back to the dugout, the smirk he had in his face, I'll never forget it. Like, oh, my God,
that
I can't believe it.
That gives me goosebumps.
That
is unbelievable.
He was a tremendous man.
Joe, I'm going to tell you, one of the things, and I've told Sal this, we had a game in Anaheim, and our bullpen was shot. We used it pretty much. So we're in Anaheim, and Bartolo's pitching, and he gives up two in the first and two in the second, and they're hitting him pretty good. So he comes off the field in the second inning, and he walks up to me and said, "Let me tell you something. I'm going to get you to the seventh inning. Do not worry about me. You save that bullpen. That's a pro."
Yeah.
That's a pro.
Yeah.
It's just like David. David, when he came back the night he hit the home run, he walked in my office. He'd been out for the entire summer. He walked in my office and he said, "I'm really glad to be back." I said, "Well, we're really glad to have you back." He said, "Listen, you guys are playing great. Don't worry about me. I'm just here to help." I said, "Yeah, well, you're going to help because you're hitting third tonight." And
right.
So what does he do? Hits a home run his first time.
I used to kill it in Philadelphia. David loved hitting
Philly. Those are the pros. Those are the guys who put the team first. You know, didn't worry about themselves. They put the team first, and that's how you win with guys like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Isn't Colon still pitching somewhere? Isn't he? Wasn't he?
I'm going to tell you what, he'd win 11 games right now if somebody brought him to the big leagues.
Well, maybe we should bring him here. You know, maybe we should put him in a rotation. I mean, why not?
You know, he can still give you seven.
He had one pitch, sinker.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah. What are you going to throw him? Sinker.
Unbelievable. So how do you like, again, we're talking to Terry Collins. What's your thoughts? Okay, I want to ask you. I want to get to the steroid stuff because I want every steroid guy in the Hall of Fame. I am a big, put them all in. You know, let's be honest. These guys, in a lot of ways, the commissioner, you know, Seelig's in. They put him in. They couldn't wait to put him in the Hall of Fame. They made all this money in 98 with McGuire and Sosa in a home run chase, right? And then they threw everybody under the bus.
They saved the game. Those two guys
of course.
That year saved the game of baseball.
Right.
you know, after the strike in 94, people stopped coming to the game.
Right,
and
right.
So these two guys went on this home run streak. They saved the game.
Absolutely.
I was managing the Angels, and there was a restaurant I lived in Seal Beach, California. There was a restaurant that Mark used to go to.
Right.
He started hitting home runs, and there were 1,000 people lined up to get a hat from this restaurant.
Really?
There was a Navy shipyard in Seal Beach, and they used to get calls from ships that were coming in. We need 2,500 Abbey hats because of Mark McGwire. He and Sammy saved the game of baseball.
No doubt.
And so to sit there and say, and by the way, I will tell you this, not one time did anybody ever walk in my office and say, by the way, steroids are illegal. We're going to start testing for them. Never did they say
Never
that.
Never happened, right?
Never did they say
and
that.
And let's be honest. There's guys in the Hall of Fame that did steroids. Let's be honest about it. There's got to be.
Well,
I mean, we don't know for sure, but there's got to be. But chances are they are.
There's a good chance of it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a grueling season. And so these guys, you know, they do what they – and that's one of the things I thought I really respect Andy Pettitte. You know, he said, I had a sore arm.
Yep,
and
yep.
So, yeah, I know this stuff will help me heal faster. It's like, and I tell my friends, I live in Florida, and they all talk about steroids. And I said, you know, if you had cancer today and you find that you're beating cancer, what's the doctor going to give you to rebuild your system up? Steroids, right?
Yeah.
And so these guys, a lot of these guys, they play hurt, and they knew this was the way so they could get by it. And I agree with you, Joe. I just
enough.
Yeah,
well,
enough.
The fact, see, to me, I try to differentiate. Like Sammy Sosa
should be in.
Well, in my mind, I don't look at Sosa as a Hall of Fame ball player. Like Bonds, Clemens.
Okay, but let me stop you for a second. Let's be honest about this, okay? The guy hit 609 career home runs. He's the only guy to hit 60 home runs three different times.
But
okay?
do you think Sosa without PEDs, like I know Clemens and Bonds were going to be great regardless.
Right.
Even A-Rod, I think he would have been great regardless. I don't think Sosa would have been that level.
Nobody has been more hosed than Sammy Sosa.
Let's be honest. McGwire, too. And I put McGwire in because I think he, prior to Aaron Judge, Mark McGwire's the greatest home run hitter I've ever
seen. Okay, but Sammy Sosa, to me, even more so.
Okay.
But let's be honest. You want to give me Ernie Banks. You want to give me Billy Williams. You want to give me Ron Santo. You want to give me Ryan Sandberg. You want to give me all these guys. They got statues for him at Wrigley. The greatest Cub of all time is Sammy Sosa. Let's be honest about it. And I understand the steroid stuff and all of that, but this guy has been screwed to the max. And I am, when guys get hosed, okay, I wasn't the biggest Beltran fan when he played with the Mets, but after he got hosed with the Houston thing and they decided not to make him the manager and all of that, okay, I turned on. Now I love the guy, okay? I do. And the same thing with Sosa.
Oh, how about Bonds? And I know you
love
coach Bonds.
Bonds
when you were
Pittsburgh. Oh, my God. I hated him when he played. I love Bonds. I love him.
I lockered next to Barry for 5 years in Pittsburgh. So, and I will tell you, for 5 years, if Barry Bonds ever took batting practice, guess who was throwing it?
You.
Me. Right. I threw to this guy for 5 years in a row, and I used to tease him. I'd say, you know, I still see him today. I'm saying, is the check in the mail? Is there a check coming my way pretty soon? You won 3 MVPs with me throwing your batting practice.
You get along good? What kind of guy is he? Is he a decent guy?
Oh, he's a good guy.
He is, right?
And I'm going to tell you, one day we got on the bus going back to the hotel.
Right.
Barry sits next to me. He said, I'm just going to tell you something, TC. I'm going to the Hall of Fame. I said, you don't have to tell me. I watch you every night.
Right.
This guy did stuff. I saw him, Joe, walk up to pitchers.
Right.
Hall of Fame pitcher.
Right.
Lee Smith.
Right.
Right? One of the greatest relievers of all time. Barry walked up to him one day and he said, Lee, I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to face me tonight. And Big Lee said, yeah, okay, Barry, okay. Sure enough, ninth inning, here comes
this
Lee Smith.
This is when he was in Pittsburgh. Right.
Sure enough, ninth inning, here comes Lee Smith. He's with the Cardinals. Here comes Lee Smith. Second pitch, Barry hits him in the upper deck and then talked to him the whole way around the bases. Wow. I told you. You didn't want to face me tonight.
No, I'm a big Bonds guy. You know what I did? I got a podcast, by the way. I'm going to pop my podcast.
You guys with the podcast. Right. I'm missing out.
It's called the Ode to Pain Podcast because of the teams I root for. It's nothing but pain, okay? No, it's true. But anyway, I did it yesterday. I did it, and I revealed my all-time non-Hall of Fame team. And I'm going to tell you right now, I will take that team against anybody you want to. The greatest Hall of Famers of all time, let's go play. And I'm not going to break it down now. But, you know, Pete Rose, Barry Bonds, Albert Bell, I mean, Roger Clemens, these guys are Don Mattingly, Jeff Kent. This is the team. I got A-Rod.
A-Rod.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty good team.
You know?
Did I ever tell you about the time we were playing and Albert Bell was in Baltimore? We're playing. I'm managing the Angels, and I got Shigetoshi Hasegawa pitching.
Right.
Albert Bell has already hit two homers in the game.
Right.
So he comes up the plate, and he gets drilled. And so everybody's waiting. He's not getting out of the batter's box. So the umpire said, "You got to go to first base." He said, "I'm not going. I'm hitting." And the umpire didn't know what to do. He said, "You got to go to first."
Did he go?
He said, "I'm not going. I'm hitting. I don't care if you hit me or not. Just call it ball one. I don't care what you call it."
Really?
Yeah.
And what did he do with it?
I had to come out of the dugout and say,
"Albert, you got
to go
to first.
Go to first base."
Let me tell you, I had Albert Bell because Evan and I were pushing for him to get to the Hall of Fame. This guy's one of the great right-hand hitters of all time. This guy got the biggest hosing for an MVP ever. 1995, remember it was only 144 games. They're coming back after the strike. They win 100 games that year, the Indians. 100 out of 144. Bell hits 50 homers and 50 doubles in the same season.
Yeah,
and they gave the MVP to Mo Vaughn. What?
He was.
Come on.
I'll tell you, when he went to the White Sox and you had Frank Thomas and Albert Bell hitting back-to-back.
That's pretty
good.
That
was not comfortable.
But I had him on my podcast, Terry.
Did you?
He did.
Yeah.
He was tremendous.
Oh, he's
Albert Bell?
He was a great player.
I had him on for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right? Albert Bell. How good?
Albert Bell for an hour and a half?
I'm going to tell you.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing about those kind of guys.
He was great, Sal.
You know,
smart guy.
There are guys who play the game who play angry.
Right.
They play the game angry.
I like that sometimes.
I loved it. I loved it. I mean, I've had guys, my Dave Hollins, you know, say what you want about this guy played angry. And, you know, guys on our team were
afraid of him. Yeah, with the Dodgers.
I remember the Angels.
Okay.
I've been around a lot of guys. When that game starts, man, it's on. It's on. And when the game's over, they try to calm themselves down. Ken Caminiti, he played angry. And that's, and you had to play right.
Passed away now.
I know, but when I had him in Houston, I had him.
Right.
If you didn't play the game right, Ken had something to say about it. Very quietly, he'd walk up to you in your locker and he'd say, can I see you in the weight room for a minute? And get right in. So I had, Mitch Williams, and Mitch didn't care for me too much because I didn't pitch.
Mitch was an interesting dude,
So one night, Mitch got angry with me and came in my office and wanted to beat my little ass, but I had the door closed. When I opened the door, Ken Caminiti standing in the doorway. And he said, "How come you locked the door?" I said, "I didn't lock the door. I didn't even know it was, you know." And he looked at Mitch. He got right in Mitch's face. He said, "You know what? The next time you come in here, you better be getting people out." I said,
"Pretty good.
This guy can play for me forever. Ever. I don't care what he did wrong."
Yeah.
He was a man's man, boy.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. I'm into man's men, that's for sure. No doubt about that. Terry, we could go on for hours here, man.
Yeah, you got to go on his podcast. You do an hour and a half. You're almost doing it here. We got to take a break, I think.
Oh, we got to take a break now?
You know what? It's pretty funny you say that. He's on
the
radio.
You're not supposed to say that.
That's all right. They can dump it. Yeah,
I hope they dump it.
It's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah, Nick. No,
we'll
Nick can dump
slide.
That. Yeah,
did,
Nick
good.
But yeah, we got to do the podcast.
Yeah. I'd love to come on.
I'd love to have you
go on and on.
I'd love to have you on. That would be a blast.
All right, TC. We appreciate the time very much.
Thanks, guys.
Terry, thank you. And by the way, thank you for the service with my baseball team.
Okay,
thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
We said it before, BT, JB.
Yep.
Joe Henning. I do the show with BT. So
that's all right.
Remember,
he's better looking than me.
We said it before. Terry Collins, one of two managers in the history of the Mets franchise to take the team to consecutive postseason appearances.
Yep. Thank you for that.
You know, help,
and the last to take them to a World Series.
Thank you for that.
You know what helped? Really good players.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not John Mayberry Jr. batting cleanup.
John Mayberry. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
The greatest managers in the game were really smart when they had good players.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
All right. We'll come back.
We're taking a break.
Well, we'll get some calls when we come back. Darn it! Joe B. and Sal on the Fan.
You can call me BT. He's better looking.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.